All righty. We've got a new security person that stepped up for Wednesday nights, Mr. Ken Wallace, back here watching our door. So we appreciate that. Thank you very much, Ken. That way men can quit knocking on the window. I know. All right, we've been talking all month about a heart of Thanksgiving, and I'm going to try to do a kind of a short message tonight because I want y'all to be able to express how you feel about what God's done for you. Let's go to the first slide, Brandon. We'll kind of recap what we've been doing the last few weeks real quickly. Thanksgiving, the definition, expression of gratitude, especially toward God. That's what Thanksgiving is, the expression of gratitude. We need more of that in our world, don't we? Gratitude. Everybody complains, everybody whines, everybody belly aches, everybody sees the glass half empty, what they don't have, all the negativity. But if we learn to have a heart of gratitude, things in our life change. The picture changes. The vision changes. Next slide. We've been talking about this the last all month. You know, there's two ways we look at life. You know, am I a person that thanks God for things, or am I a person that complains about everything? And most of us are both. We love God on Sunday. We're complaining on Tuesday. That's just how life is. All right. You know, we're praising God when we got overtime, and then we're complaining while we're working overtime. So, you know, which person are we? As Christians, we should always be the one that's thanking God because everything comes from Him. The Bible says all good gifts come from God from above, everything. So we must be grateful and thankful, our health, our life. You know, we all see people in our lives that experience pain, hardships, heartaches, grief, loss of loved ones, and maybe you've escaped most of those things. And if you have, praise God for that. You're blessed. And so we need to have a heart of gratitude. Next slide. The level of your gratitude will determine your attitude. It really will. You know, the more thankful you are, the better your attitude is going to be. It's hard to be happy and be negative at the same time. Man, we can always find something to complain about. I know that. Children of Israel, bless their hearts. Think about that, about those folks. Man, look what all they saw happen. They saw the Red Sea right in front of their eyes part wide open, and 2 million-plus people crossed this dry land. We're not talking about God says you got 10 seconds down. This wasn't just a little short phenomena. It took a while for 2,000 people with their horses and their mules and all their stuff to go across this area. And they saw God open it up and then swallow up their enemies. When they got thirsty, what do? They went and got an Aquavina out of the 7-Eleven. No, they didn't. God let water come out of a rock. Man, they saw water. Have you ever seen water come out of a rock? I hadn't, but they saw it. They saw manna. And despite what Melanie says, manna was not mashed potatoes. But they saw manna every single morning provided for them. The Bible talks about their shoes. Understand, they're on a journey, right? Now, it's supposed to be a 3-week journey. 2 to 3 week journey is all supposed to be. But it lasted a little longer than that. Yeah, 40 years. Now, there wasn't no Walmarts on the way. There wasn't no Costcos on the way. There wasn't no Targets on the way. God kept their clothes and their shoes. There wasn't no hospitals on the way. God kept them healthy. God kept sick disease. They saw miracle after miracle. And then they went into every city and saw how God destroyed their enemies, and they overcome the enemies every time they went. God showed up. Your level of gratitude will determine your attitude. If you have a poor, nasty, bitter, grumbly, if people at work avoid you, there's a reason. So don't get mad about it and get whiny about it. No, it's probably your attitude. So change it. Be thankful. We talked even last week about being thankful for a job. That's a blessing. You know how many folks want to work and can't work? Or how many people, you know, want to have a job and maybe right now don't have a job? Working gives you purpose. And I know Connie Belen's like, yeah, whatever, Pastor. But I'm telling you, a job, maybe not your job, but a job is a blessing. And so I thank God even for that. Next point I made last week, number two. A thankful heart will produce a picture of joy and beauty, but a complaining spirit will produce a different picture, sorrow and defeat. It paints your vision. a grateful heart, you'll see things a whole, you know the old saying, you see life through rose-colored glasses, right? Skipping through the dandelion fields, ooh, la, 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 la. I grew up, my kids, watching that cartoon, Dexter's Laboratory. Everybody remember Dexter's Laboratory? Remember Dee Dee? She didn't care about nothing. Just carefree. That's kind of how Ashley is. You know, just don't care about nothing. She saw things. And Dexter was complainful and grumbling, remember? Stay away from my stuff, sister. Do not touch my equipment. He's always frowning and always mad and always ugly. You don't, you're selfish. Yeah, selfish. It's a good thing. See, selfish is really the opposite of being thankful, isn't it? So thankful. Number three, a thankful heart will praise the Lord. You can't help but praise Him because He's great. He's wonderful. Look, we just read that song, right? He took my sin upon the cross. He took that from me. I've got something to praise God for. When He calls me home, when He calls my name, I know where I'm going. I don't have to doubt it or worry about it or stress over it. That's been handled at Calvary. So God, thank You the blood's been shed. Thank You it's finished. Thank You my future is sealed. Thank You God, all is well. Thank You I don't have to worry about my tomorrow because my tomorrow belongs to You. And where You are, there will I be also, as John 14 says. So God, I give You praise for it. A thankful heart will praise the Lord. Psalms 100. Next slide. We read this last week, and then we'll get in a few more verses. Oh, now go to my Psalms 100 first. Psalms 100. Is it on there? Did I delete it? Okay. Pull that one up. Okay. Well, we'll do it the old-fashioned way. Psalms 100, verse 1. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. This sounds like we should be in a good mood, right? We come to His presence with singing. I said this last week. People that sing are normally happy. Think about that. Do you ever hear anybody singing that's miserable? I mean, you can hear somebody singing and they're in a good mood. You know, they're not singing. I mean, really they are. You don't see somebody, I got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. They're not singing it that way. They're in their kitchen, you know, or they're at work, you know, humming, I got the joy. They're tapping their foot, shaking their head, doing electric slide, whatever they're doing. But they're singing. Singing means you're happy. My grandma sings in the house when she gets happy. I've heard my grandma before. Over holiday dinners, everybody's there eating, and you know, you're hearing her, she gets singing and humming, and she's in a good mood. She's singing. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before presence with singing. Verse 3. Know ye that the Lord is God. It is He that made us, not we ourselves. We are not self-made. We are made by God. Remember how He made us? It wasn't all that fancy. Took some dust off the earth, right? Breathed life into it, and we became a living soul. Man, that's powerful. He made us. And look at this next part I love. We are His people. In today's terminology, we are His peeps. We're His people. And we are the sheep of His pasture. Think about it. I belong in God's pasture. When I think of God's pasture, I think things are pretty good. The grass is really green. The water is really blue. There's plenty of both. I'm protected. I'm provided for. I've got the great shepherd watching over my life. I'm part of His flock. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful the Lord is my God, my King, my Father. He is mine, and I am His. And I'm thankful for that. Verse 4. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving. Remember what thanksgiving means? It's not football. It's not food. Thanksgiving is a heart of gratitude. So God, I come before You with a heart of gratitude. Pastor, you don't know what my life's been like lately. You're not yet at Nicholson Funeral Home. Can I get a witness? So something's okay. You know, you ain't made it to the morgue yet. So something's all right. You walked in this place under your own power. You can all see me with your own eyeballs. You may have 25,000 vision, but you can see me. You all can hear my words coming out of my mouth. You all can raise your arms. I think you all can stand up. Maybe with a little bit of pain, but you can stand up. You can taste. You can smell. You have a home to go to tonight. You have a car to drive home in. You've got heat in the winter and cool in the summer. Food in your refrigerator. You've got a lot of things to be thankful for. But the greatest thing is when you come into His presence, thank you, Lord, that you saved me from my sins. Thank you for the cross of Calvary that made everything new in my life. I'm a new creation in you because of the cross. I don't have to worry no more about my future because, God, you took care of that for me. Thank you. We enter His courts with that thanksgiving, into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. Think about this. It's hard to praise God and be mad at God at the same time. And it's hard to praise God and be complainful about your life at the same time. Because as you start praising the Lord, all of a sudden the Spirit of God in you begins to take over and you begin to worship from the inside, the innermost part of your being. And that worship comes out and comes alive and overshadows all the junk the devil's told you why you should not worship. Yes, life happens. I don't always like all of my days, but I always love my God. I don't always like everything that happens to me, but I always love the one that happened in me. And He always loves me. And here's the good news about God. Our bad attitude doesn't affect how He loves us. That's what's beautiful. Our cranky, ungrateful heart doesn't affect how He loves us. We are His children. He is not a conditional God. He's an unconditional God. That's why we're saved by mercy and grace. That's why it's a gift from God, not of works, lest any of us boast. We can't brag about what we've done to get God. We just point to the cross, and we say, as the song Watch the Lamb says, as the father is holding his two children at the end, he turned his little boys around, and he says, children, watch the Lamb. That's all that matters. It's the Lamb that gave you this everlasting life. Verse 5. For the Lord is good. His mercy is through next Friday. Aren't you glad? His mercy is everlasting. Man, we as people, we want things to last forever, right? We try to get our cars to go as far as they can go. We try to get our health and our youth, and we get them crow's eyes, and we start buying everything Mary Kay has to get them lines out of our eyes. You know, we color that hair, the first gray hair, man, we all of a sudden, we're the burning bush because we ain't going to have no gray in our hair. We do everything to try to make things preserve, to go on and on and on. But eventually things run out. Washing machines run out. Refrigerators run out. Cars run out. Everything runs out. Your clothes finally will wear out if you wear them enough. Things wear out. But His mercy doesn't wear out. His mercy doesn't give out. His mercy doesn't give up. It is everlasting, which means the mercy of God goes on and on. Even in 2019, yep. Even in this perverse generation, yes. No matter what mankind does, yes. His mercy will remain forever because God is love. And the cultural shift of our nation and our world doesn't affect the love God has for His people. His love is greater than their sin. His love is greater than their darkness. His love is greater than our rebellion because it goes on and on. When fads come and go, God's love doesn't. When things change, God's love doesn't. I am the same today, yesterday, today, and forever. I am the same. Hallelujah. Wasn't it nice, Mindy, to have a security guard tonight? Hallelujah. All right, let's go to the next verse. This is Psalms 30. Let's get through this really quick. I do want to give time for y'all to speak tonight just for a little bit. Psalms chapter 30. Begin with verse 1. This is a Psalms of Thanksgiving. And what happened, David, I love David. He was just a real man that God really blessed, anointed, promoted, but had a lot of struggles, didn't he? Like all of us do. Man, if you say you got no struggles, you ain't in this world, I'm telling you. Are you lying to yourself? We got struggles and we got battles. And David here is giving his psalms because of Thanksgiving because he was at the door of death. A sickness had come upon his life. And if you do some studies on this, the sickness came by his own sin. when he numbered Israel's chariots. He numbered them. And he got in self-sufficiency. He got in self-pride, thinking, I've got a big army. He started counting all of his soldiers, all of his military. God didn't like that. He says, you depend on me, not this. I'm your God. And so David came to the brink of sickness, but God saved his life. And look what he says in Psalms 30. I will extol thee. We don't say that word no more, do we? I dare you go to Walmart tonight and say, I extol you. You stole what from me? No. I extol. You know what that word extol means? It means to praise enthusiastically. To praise enthusiastically. You know, not like this. Act like you know what you're praising. I say this all the time. You know, we've been to ball games, concerts, different things. They're fun. I still got my video saved, Mike, when we went to Pittsburgh and the Steelers came out of the tunnel. I've got that on video. I still got that saved. And, man, when that announcer says, you're a Pittsburgh Steelers, and they come around that tunnel, the crowd goes, they lose their mind. They are praising their Steelers enthusiastically. Can you imagine them coming out of the tunnel and nothing but crickets? Boy, that would be demoralizing. Nobody said nothing. They just run out and there's no noise at all. You're Pittsburgh Steelers. That's all you hear? That'd be terrible. But man, we were cheering. Melly was cheering, you know. She don't even know what football is half. But she was cheering and she was screaming. Oh, this is exciting. Woo, yeah. Praise enthusiastically. He has lifted me up. He has not made my foes to rejoice over me. Verse 2, O Lord my God, I cry to you and you have healed me. He has something to be thankful for. God had healed him from the brink of death. Lord, you have brought my soul from the grave. You have kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. Now we can tie that in a little deeper for our lives, right, spiritually, that God has saved us from the grave. Because death has no more dominion over us as Christians, because death has no more dominion over Christ, and Christ is in us. So yes, I know our flesh dies, and you know our flesh gives away, but we don't taste death, not in Christ. The Bible says, if you follow me, Jesus, if you follow me, you shall never taste death. So the grave's not going to hold me. The grave's not going to hold you as a Christian. You're not there. That's your shell, but you are not there. You are very much alive somewhere else around the throne of God in your new life and your new redemption, rejoicing the Lord. So God has saved us from the grave. I don't have to worry about the pit anymore because God has made a remedy for that. Sing the Lord, verse 4 says, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. Do you realize if God wasn't holy, you couldn't be? The Bible says holiness is Christ in me. Think about that. If it wasn't for the holiness, the perfection of God, he could not have paid the price for our sins. And we would not be counted as holy unto him, or as his children, or as his righteousness. Because the Bible says, him that knew no sin became sin, 1 Corinthians, that we, James, Teresa, Joe, Gail, James, Karina, God became that for us. Him that knew no sin became sin, that we could become the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus our Lord. So if he wasn't holy, we had no hope. We would still be lost. Verse 5. For his anger, and we've heard this verse before. I've heard this in a lot of different services in my life. And this verse is always quoted real. This one's one you just kind of preach. Let me do it the way I've heard it. Are you ready? For his anger endureth but a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night. Oh, but joy cometh, y'all, up here in the morning. We've heard that, right? Weeping comes for a night. Weeping is temporary. Sorrow is temporary. All of this is temporary. Sickness, disease, poverty, pain, divorce, struggle, loss, pain, all of that is temporary. It's just for a morning. But I'm telling you, joy, when our name is called, joy is coming to the people of God. And when your name is called, all that you knew, all that you was, is buried in the past. And you rise up to a future that death no longer has a hold of. Hallelujah. That's what he's talking about. Man, life is full of sorrows, but joy will come again. And joy came back to David. God restored the joy of David back to his life. He went through a hard season. Remember David when the deal with Bathsheba and all that stuff, and he messed up with her and slept with her, got her pregnant, killed her husband, lied about it. I mean, he went through a terrible dark season. And he cried out in one psalm and says, Lord, he cried, God, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. I think sometimes we lose sight of the joy of our salvation. We've been saved so long, we're going through the motions, right? I'm just saved, religious emotions. Don't ever get to the point you lose the joy of your salvation. I'm happy that I'm saved. I'm happy I'm redeemed. Man, I've got the joy of the Lord every single day, because no matter what comes my way, the joy of God stays. No matter who leaves me, his joy will not. No matter what comes against me, his joy fills me. And I trust that, and I believe that, and I have that. We've got to have joy about who we are in Christ. We got to look forward to being saved every day like we do to a vacation coming up. I do a countdown on vacation. Get on Melanie's nerves. I do a countdown. I did a clock 1 year on my phone. I did a clock. I did a countdown. I was in desperate need to get away. So I did a countdown on my clock, and I was so excited. I drive Melanie. She's not really. I get all excited about it, you know. I carry on one of Dad's traditions when I go on vacation now, okay? Drives me out. She's like, that's so stupid. But I carry on tradition. I always back the car in on vacation. I back my car up to load the luggage, right? Yeah. So if you come by my house and see the car backed up, I'm about to go somewhere. That's the only time I back up. But I get so excited. I get the car backed up. I got the luggage packed the night before normally. I'm driving the girls crazy. You got it ready? Get it downstairs. You got it ready? Come on, let's go. Yeah. Time schedule. I'm going to pull out of the driveway at 6 o'clock, no later, not 6:02, not 6:03, 6 o'clock. I want the tires to be rolling across my gravel. Do you understand? I get so excited, man. Vacation is coming. Hallelujah. Well, you know what? We are Christians. We are saved. There should be such a joy of that. And that joy should show. You know, we had an experience this week, of some Christians who are Christians, and we know they're Christians, but absolutely did not present that light very well. And it really kind of set us back to think, okay, you are supposed to be a light for Christ, and this is your behavior. This is the words you say. This is how you're treating someone. And to me, if you're a Christian and you have that joy of the Lord, you should want to be sharing his love, his peace, his encouragement. See, I love to encourage people. I've always been the person, if I see someone doing something really right or something that they do, I always encourage them. Man, thanks for that. That was great, man. That's a great. You know, even the funeral home, I do that. I'm nobody. I'm a peon at the funeral home. I'm on the way down the scale. But if I see someone do something that stands out to me, I send them a text. Man, that was a great job you did today. I noticed what you did. That was awesome. I believe in encouraging one another, because you got the joy of the Lord. You want to encourage people, not tear them down. You want to build them up, because you want them to experience what you're experiencing. If you know my God, and man, my God puts us. Remember that old song we learned? If you're happy, you know it, clap your hands. You know, if you're happy, you know it, stomp your feet. If you're happy, you know it, then your face will surely show it. Mike, there's a lot. I don't know about how it is in Pittsburgh, man, but there's a lot of Sunday mornings I'm up here preaching, and I'm not so sure the faces in the seats are notifying themselves. I'm like, oh, my gosh, y'all. Can y'all please look happy? Oh, my goodness. You fell in a bucket of pickle juice or something. I don't know. But come on. Can you show me some teeth? I ain't got no teeth. Show me your gums. I don't care. Just smile. Because, man, Christians ought to have joy. You know, man, we got the best vacation ahead coming. Now, I don't have a countdown for that. I don't want to know that. But I know that day is coming. Verse 6, in my prosperity, I said, I shall never be moved. Lord, by thy favor, thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. Thou didst hide thy face. I was troubled. He's going through a hard time and couldn't feel God's presence. Then he cried to the Lord, and he made a supplication. What profit is there in my blood if I go down the pit? Shall the dust praise you? Shall it declare thy truth? David's saying, God, keep me alive so I can praise you. Because if I die, you lose my voice in the earth. Pretty good argument, right? Keep me alive so I can praise you, Lord. Hear me, O Lord. Have mercy upon me. Be thou my helper. You have turned my mourning into dancing. You have put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness. Remember the old days when they were mourning or weeping or fasting? They'd put on what they call sackcloth and sit in ashes sometimes. It's a sign of just weeping and mourning and fasting. It was a time of sorrow, a time of defeat, a time of sadness. And then all of a sudden God says, I'm going to replace that with gladness. That's exactly what he did at Calvary. We talked a few weeks ago about when the earth grew dark 3 hours. Remember at the crucifixion, the earth grew dark for 3 hours. We're talking about how the light of the world was extinguished in those 3 hours. The light of the world. Was there any hope left? For 3 hours, the world was in sackcloth and ashes. For 3 hours, they were weeping and mourning. But man, when the tomb was opened and Jesus came forth, that sackcloth and ashes turned into girdness of gladness. Hallelujah. And that mourning and weeping turned into joy and dancing. He's alive. He's alive. Praise God. He's alive. Come see him. He's not in the tomb no more. He's alive. All of a sudden, their whole world changed. For 3 days, they were walking around thinking their Messiah was gone. But no, he wasn't. The light wasn't put out. The light had to be temporarily extinguished so his eternal light could go on forever and never be blown out again. And it won't be. He is the light of the world forever and ever and ever. And nobody can blow out his candle ever again. Hallelujah. That's why we dance. Last verse. To the end that my glory may praise you, I will not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto you forever. We've always got something to thank God for. No matter what situation we are in, we've got something to thank our Creator for. Thank Him forever. In every season, every day, every year, every moment, give God thanks and have that heart of thanksgiving, because there's something in all of our lives that we can say, Lord, I've got this, and I thank you. I thank you. I'm going to pass the mic around, okay? I'm going to ask you, please be respectful, because I want everybody to be able to speak that wants to. If you don't want to speak, pass it on. I'm feeling it'll be hurt. It's okay. But just take a minute or so. Just to, you know, give God thanks for something. Maybe it's a moment you thought of. Maybe it's something he delivered you from. But I'll give you a chance to do that. To thank God for something in your life. I'll start with Teresa, and you can pass it back behind.
I know that we all are thankful for our families and our friends and those that encourage us. And for this whole week, I've got, what am I thankful for? I have so much to be thankful for. And I want to tell you I'm so thankful for you and your wife and all that you have meant to me, working with you at Walmart, and then you finding me at Kmart and encouraging me and inviting me to come to church. When I needed God the most, you stepped in and you saved me, because I was ready to go home and never come out of my house again. Take all my medicine and just lay down and go to sleep. And I found the card that you gave me. And I plugged that into my GPS, which had me drive all over Statesville because it wasn't right. And I came here. And the minute I walked in that door, the love of Christ overflowed in me from you and your wife and the church. So my most thankful thing is that you saved me when I didn't even want to be saved. And you saved me. And I can't be more thankful than that.
This was not staged. I promise. I had no idea what she was going to say. I promise. Would Teresa know what she was going to say? So I had no idea. But thank you. And God just knew what you needed at that time. And God just kept me persistent in that moment for whatever reason. I don't even think I knew why at the time. I just was kept being drawn to stop in and see you on a regular basis there just to say, hey, check on you, how you doing? Didn't know God was doing a work in your life. I really didn't. I was just... Yeah. Thank you for that. That's awesome. All right, Gail, top that.
First of all, I want to thank God for saving me. I want to thank Him for grace. I want to thank Him for my family. Thank Him that I can get up every morning, put my clothes on, make Him put them on fast as I used to. I can't. I can do anything I want to do outside. I got a roof over my head. I got plenty of food in the house. I'm thankful.
He's 76 years old, isn't that great? I mean, he don't appear like a 76-year-old guy. He really don't. And he goes like he just goes and goes. He works still, part time, works 2-3 days a week, and so does really good. We're glad to have you here, Gail. We're blessed.
I'm letting you speak in the Buckeye shirt.
I thank God often for the saving of my life when I had a hunting accident back in 1977. I flew higher than this building in the air. I came back down on my back and lay there. And I could see the clouds moving. And a friend that was there with me came running up to me. And the first words out of my mouth were, "Thank you, Jesus." And my friend fell to his knees and he said, "What did you say?" I said, "Thank you, Jesus." And since then, I've had many other blessings. Earthly, that has been my biggest one, and coming to this church has been a great blessing to me, and this is my church family. Thank you.
Well, hi everyone, nice to be here. I'm visiting from Pennsylvania, so I really had a nice week this weekend. Mostly I'm thankful for God saving me at my lowest. And all the great things He's done already, and all the great things He's about to do within my life. But I'm also thankful for friends and family who's there for me when I at least expect them to be. So yes, I'm thankful. Thank you all.
I grew up in the 60s, and that was a turbulent time in this country, and some good, some not so good. But I always told James that God saved me just in time, and He did. Even though I grew up in the 60s, I was not a product of the 60s generation. I was different. I was Miss Sandra D. But if it had not been for Jesus, that wouldn't have been the story. But He saved me in July when I was 13 years old. And it was instant, and it was just a total change. And the generation was already closing in on me and pulling at me and my spirit and my attitude. But God saved me just in time, and because of that, all the other blessings He's blessed me with, I wouldn't have today. I wouldn't have this good husband. James would not have been raised by a Christian mother. It's just like one of our favorite movies is A Wonderful Life. When God does something in your life, it touches so many others that you don't realize. So all the things I'm grateful for, none of it would have been possible if He hadn't saved me just in time.
Well, I'm thankful for a lot of things. I'm thankful for my health and my strength. I'm thankful for the church and for what the many people that's come in and has been helped here. And I'm thankful for my family. And I just praise the Lord for all His blessings.
I'm thankful for the people in my life. I have some great people in my life, and I'll consider you and Melanie a part of my family too, because y'all been there for me for, 2 years almost now? Yeah, that's crazy. And I mean, y'all, the first family, Ashley was the first girl I ever dated in my life. So, I mean, to have amazing parents is like y'all, it's just an amazing thing to have. I'm not trying to copy Therese or anything, but just really appreciate y'all, my family, and all the people in my life.
He knows how I feel about him, but definitely thankful for salvation. Jesus is constant in my life. And right behind Him is you. And I've shared that with you this week. Because, you know, some emotional harm came against me personally this week. And you've been there, James, for 28 years for me. You've never let me down. And because of that, I've been able to reflect this week about how much I truly love you and how you really, and I'm talking about, you know, Grant, it's wonderful you're my pastor. I'm talking you as my husband. You are so much to me that maybe sometimes I give you credit for because, you know, you are a boy and I live with you, so it's not perfect. But I can't thank God enough because I've needed constant my whole life. And I give God praise for saving my life. I came in this world fighting. My sister before me didn't make it fighting. And I give him praise that he had a purpose for me. And I don't understand maybe why it was a struggle in the beginning and maybe a struggle all along. But I know he's got a call in my life. And I know we have a call together. But I just, I'm thankful that through anything the enemy's ever thrown at me, and it seems like lately I've been tossed a few stones. But I can always count on you. You never judge. You always lift me up and encourage me. And you listen to my lengthy stories, and I appreciate that very much. And although you got many quirks about you, and I love you dearly, I appreciate you for always putting a smile on my face. And I love this little Nick right here, and he knows this is my little boy. Let me tell you, I love him and our children. I'm very thankful and blessed for our family.
I don't want to follow that. That's tough. I'm thankful for God being in my life. I'm thankful for Michael, my husband. He's been an amazing man. We've been married just 3 years, and I couldn't have picked a better husband, so I'm very blessed that God has placed him in my life. I'm thankful for my family and my friends and the continued safety of everyone that I'm in the corner.
The first thing that I'm thankful for, a lot of the things that everyone else said, but just two quick things, is that after 45 years of not following the Lord and knowing maybe who he was but not having any idea who he really was, that after 45 years all I had to do was turn to him and he was right, he was waiting for me. He never walks away from you. He's always with you by your side. All you have to do is turn to him and he's going to give you all that joy and all the happiness that you can even think about expressing. Another quick thing, I'm also thankful. I have a brother in Christ back home who has stage 4 cancer. He was given 8 to 14 months. He's actually in his 8th month now. I was with him Monday night in the hospital praying with him. And he's always sending me, we text all every day, but he's always sending me texts of encouragement, which is amazing. But the one thing that makes me so thankful for him and then all obviously for the Lord is that we were praying that he was going to be healed. You know, we have the belief, we have faith that he's going to be healed. But when we were done, he says, you know what, though, if I'm not healed, I know that I still win. Because he knows that he's going home to the Lord. And I'm thankful for that.
I'm very thankful for you guys, for my church, even though I left. Yeah. But I am thankful. I love you guys.
I'm thankful for my extended family here at church. James Millen, you always welcomed me, even though I may not be the best person. I'm thankful for my family.
I'm thankful for the Lord pulling me through my stroke way back when. I didn't really know, but evidently he has other plans for me, so that's awesome. I don't know what they are, but we'll find out soon. Also thankful for James and the church family for getting me through that tough time. Thank you. 2005-2006.
I'm not a talker like Ken, but I am thankful for the church family, and I'm glad to be back. I'm thankful for my health and for my husband, and I'm thankful for my faith.
I really hate the kids are not out here because Sierra was so excited to tell everybody what she was thankful for. Okay, so So anyway, I'm not going to tell you. But I'm thankful for God and my church family. And I'm thankful for Deb Treadway calling me and asking me to come to church here. I've been coming for 11 years now. God rest her soul. I saw Amy today. Yes. So I'm so thankful for that. Another thing I'm thankful for is, not that I like that Scott got sent off and he was gone for 2 years, but I think God intervened and saved his life. If he hadn't been sent off, I don't think he would be here. And another thing I'm really thankful for is Belen and her family. I may get on her nerves sometimes, but she never lets me know it, except when we work together. She let me know. But I remember when she brought Sierra home, and I said, I'm not going to get attached to Sierra. But she's got me wrapped around her little finger, and I love all of them. Sasha and Anthony, all four of them.
Like everybody else, I'm thankful for God and my family, Connie. Yeah, for you then. I was about to say that, but yeah, she's been a very big part of my life and my children's, and I'm very thankful to her. And yeah. Anywho, if it wasn't for her, I wouldn't be coming here. I'm thankful for you and your family. Y'all have accepted me and my weirdness, because I am one of those weird ones, but I am blessed because I've been to many churches where I've been, you know, kind of not accepted, or yeah, the way I am. But y'all have accepted me just the way I am, and I'm thankful for that. So. Oh, yeah, duh. What are you thankful for?
I'm thankful for God. Same thing she said, but family.
Same thing she said, but family.
I'm grateful to be here tonight. 40 years ago, I asked God for something, and he's never failed me. I asked him for peace, for a right mind, for a health and strength and long life, and he's not never... Have I had problems in my life? Yeah, I've had problems. But I've never, ever lost my peace. I've always had my joy, and I'm grateful for that tonight.
I'm thankful for God and his love, his mercy, and my family. All my friends here, and for this church.
Still got the folks to go. Remember that.
I'm thankful for God's everlasting love, my wife and my family, and the church.
Great job! Wow. Trained him well. Oh yeah, sorry, Randy.
I'm thankful for my family, my church family, as well as my blood family. I'm also thankful that God gives us his word, and that he speaks to us through his word, and that he provides the Holy Spirit to live with us and to guide us and provide for us and help us as we go through our daily lives.
That's the first one that said that. Thank God for his word to guide us. That's very good.
I'm thankful for the Lord, for sure, and the Holy Spirit, and I'm thankful that we had some kiddos come in tonight, and just thankful for all the gifts that the Lord has given me, and hope that I always use it for his glory.
I'm thankful for this church that I've been really a part of for the last 5 years, and the Primetimers group that I got involved in. And a good husband like Mr. Randy. And, yeah, Mr. Randy. Yeah, he's Mr. Randy. And just home, family, just everything that God has given me over the years.
I'm very thankful
for my family, my church family. Most of all, I am thankful for salvation. I was saved when I was around 8 years old, baptized, filled with the Holy Ghost, but I walked away. God never leaves you, but I walked away a few years back, and I'm so thankful for His mercy and His grace and His love and this church family for accepting me in the state that I was in when I came and giving me time to get where I needed to be. I'm not there yet, but I'm daily praying and working on my relationship with God. And so just keep praying for me.
I'm thankful for God's salvation and that He saved me when I was young and the life that He saved me from. Only He knows what it would have been. And, you know, I'm thankful for all the other things that we take so for granted. And thankful for family and the family that God puts in our lives. God did, you know, God knew back when I was only, 9 or 10, that I would need extended family when I was away from my family. Some 30 years later, in the form of Roger and Lil, they've known me maybe 9 years less than my family has. And God knew that when I would relocate away from my family and all the things that I would be going through after moving up here, that I would need someone to be here. And I know that I can count on them. And I'm thankful for Village Inn Pizza. Not because I like it. There's a reason, and many of you know it. But God knew that I would need a church family to help me get through one of the hardest parts of my life. Almost 4 years ago, losing my husband. And I fleeced God, and I'm thankful that Melanie agreed to go to Village Inn. because that led us here. And, you know, I'm thankful for God giving me the want to learn how to play. And there's a saying that says, your talent is God's gift to you. What you do with it is your gift to God. And there were many years that I didn't give that gift back to God. And He opened up doors to allow me to come here and be able to give my gift back to God. And I'm thankful for two amazing boys that God has given me, because I don't know what I would have done without them. And I love you guys, and I'm thankful for all of you.
I'm thankful for my family and God.
This is going to sound so sappy, but Brandon and this little family that I've created, I met Brandon when I was at my worst. I was depressed. I mean, I really didn't want to believe in God at that point. I had been pressured out of so many churches, bullied out of so many churches, and my first pastor that I'd ever really connected with kind of abandoned my favorite church. And Brandon kind of invited me to the Halloween bonfire thing and saw Ashley. So I went to middle school with her, and this is the first time I've ever felt at home in a church. Oh God, sorry. I'm wearing makeup. I can't cry.
I'm wearing makeup. I can't cry.
But I truly am thankful for all of you, and I know I don't show it much because I'm very reserved and I don't like to talk to people, but I am very thankful for you all.
Since I've had a lot of time to think over what I was going to say, completely put it out of my mind until today. I get back to thinking about when Mom had told me about a incident from when I was 2 and a half where my appendix had ruptured. and it was a case that was very rare, not very common that you'd find that in a child so young, and I could have died from that, but thank the Lord, they found it, and they were able to clean it up, and I live to this day because of that, and I'm thankful for that.
Well, I am thankful for my beautiful wife as well. And she said a lot of kind words, and she kind of has to in public, I guess. But I do love my wife, and God definitely brought us together at that little Food Line store down the road where she walked in with her little ponytail bebopping, chewing her gum like a little Barbie doll. And I was her Ken. Not that Ken. The Ken. But I am thankful, Melanie. You are... You've also been a stabling force in my life. Raising three kids is not easy, and you were always a grounding force when we went through difficult times with that. Difficult times in the church, you were a grounding force as well. Where I would get frustrated or concerned or stressed, you would be the one to calm me down. James, God called you. You know you're supposed to be doing this. He's going to work it out. And he has. For 17 years, God has supplied. And I am really thankful. I'm thankful God called me out of Walmart that day and spoke to me and said it's time to go and time to do this. I look back many times at what a step that was and how it seems insane to do what I did. But, man, God is, he's paid off. That's for sure. And I'm very thankful for my family. Thankful for my mom and dad. I'm thankful they're still alive. A lot of folks my age, I'm not that old, but a lot of folks my age have lost at least one of their parents. And still have mine, and I'm really thankful for that. And thankful for all of you guys. I truly am. This is a family to me. Mallory would tell you that, how much I love this family. How much I love this church family, and it really means a lot to me, all of you do. And I'm thankful for the words you said tonight, all the words about, you know, Sarah saying she feels for the first time at home, you know, Mindy saying you accepted me in my condition, but Lynn said to me being a weirdo, you know, we love weirdos. That's what, you know, we're the weirdo church, right? And so we're okay with that. We truly are the ones that when God sends them, we're going to love them, and it's up to God to do what they want, but we're going to love them. And, I believe that, so I am very thankful. So thank you guys. Y'all did awesome. What a beautiful, beautiful service tonight of sharing from your heart, and I appreciate that. We definitely are a family, and I thank y'all. Everybody good? All righty. Keep that name in your prayers, Rayford. People are suffering so much, you know. And I do believe that prayers we make to God for them make a difference. Don't y'all believe that? It makes a difference. Maybe someone's not physically healed the way we pray, but God, as you know, you said, Mike, they know they're going to be healed, and they have the peace to let go and be healed that way. There's a peace that comes with that. God give us a peace to say, you know what, okay, Lord, I'm at peace. I told you this, and I'll close with this. Speaking of that, shared this last Wednesday, I think, or maybe Sunday, there was a couple that passed away. The husband passed away in October, and the wife passed away exactly 6 weeks later to the date. 6 weeks. They were married 65 years. And the daughter talked to me and says that when Dad died, right before he died, he reached up in the air like he was grabbing something, and then he went. Said Mom did the exact same thing. We was in the room with Mom. She reached up in the air to grab, like she was trying to get something. And went. She witnessed that. What a beautiful thing. You know what they were reaching for? Something that wasn't here. Whew. Beautiful. All right. How'd your first night on duty go, Ken? All right. Yes. Right. Definitely. Definitely. Holidays are a tough time for folks. They really are, because you got so many memories made of holidays, so many memories. And, yes, there's been a lot of people gone. There's been a lot this week just where I'm at, a lot. So, all righty. I think we are good. If you have an offering tonight, we pray and put in the offering plate. This will be the last offering for November you can give. Sunday is December the 1st. We got a busy month in December. Our kids are going to be singing December 8th at a couple of nursing homes. Our Christmas dinner is December the 15th. We'll be having that Sunday night. Our treat bag Sunday will be December 22nd. So if you are good and not naughty, then you might get a treat bag that Sunday. So you want to come be a part of that. Yes, my daughter Ashley graduates in December 19th. Her actually last day, and she will be a graduate of high school. She's getting done early. So she'll go back and walk in May. Yeah, but she's going to go back to school after December 19th, so she'll be done. So we got all 3 hours out of high school. The rest is ups to thems. That's all I got to say. The rest is up to them. Anyway, Mike and Pam, if you don't know, Mike and Pam are, Mike is Karina's son. Y'all probably know him by now. And Pam, his wife, they are down from Pittsburgh for the week for Thanksgiving, and we're so thankful. They came down and so blessed. I had the privilege of marrying them up in Pittsburgh. Actually, in Cranberry is where the ceremony actually took place. And I ran somebody recently from that area, and they knew exactly where Cranberry was. They lived about 5 miles from Cranberry. That's why I married a couple up there. He said, "You married a couple of what?" Anyway. All right, let's stand to our feet. Thank you so much for your testimonies. Y'all really touched my heart tonight. You really, really did. Father, we are thankful and grateful for this beautiful time together with our church family. Lord, we pray for travel mercies for each one going back tonight and over the weekends they go back home. We're thankful we are loved by you endlessly. We are loved, God, everlasting, and thank you for that love. Lord, we pray that you just continue to let your word, as Randy said, lead our lives. Let your Holy Spirit guide our steps every single day, that we will follow the path you have laid out for us. That's the best path. Give you praise and honor and glory for the offering or any seed that's sown tonight, God. We pray you bless that and use that for your glory. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.